Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what can non-Muslims learn from Muslims about their emphasis on charity giving?
What does it take to help those who cannot help themselves? An image? A story? Whilst many people around the world may consider charity as an optional, albeit important activity, Muslims regard charity as a fundamental obligation from God. A recent survey showed that Muslims give more money to charity than other religious groups. The survey was commissioned by the London-based polling agency ICM. The survey was conducted on behalf of Just Giving, an online donation platform. This week's Islam and Life asks, what can non-Muslims learn from Muslims about their emphasis on charity giving?
That's an important question when we look at what is happening around the world, when we look at these surveys showing how much the Muslims are involved in charity more than all the other practicing believers from all the religions, the Jewish tradition, the Christian tradition, and even, you know, Asian traditions. We see that the Muslims are very much involved in this. And it's as if they're not talking enough about this. It's rooted within the tradition. The third pillar of Islam is zakat, is to give. It's a duty for every Muslim, women and men, to give as part of their commitment to Islam. And then there is this understanding that as a Muslim, you have to be connected to the needy people. You have to be connected to justice. You have to be connected to solidarity. This is part of your belief. This is what you have to do. And it's rooted within the teaching of Islam. So this is where it's important to understand why the Muslims are now so and still so much involved in giving, what is the secret within the Islamic tradition, and in which way they can have a positive presence in the West or in the world today to promote this attitude, which is a sense of sacrifice, which is a sense of giving, which is a sense of justice at the same time. And this is the way the Muslims should be involved. So there are lots of questions, why and how they can do this. And to answer all these questions, I'm joined by my guest, the founder and managing trustee of the Lady Fatima Charitable Trust, Amir Ali Karim. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me come to this, because the surveys and it's showing that the Muslims today in the West, and for example in the UK, but it's not only in the UK, we see this everywhere. The Muslims, by and large, are quite poor people. They are not so rich. They are not living, the great majority of the Muslims are not living in rich societies, and yet still they are giving a lot. And it comes back to understanding Islam. What is the understanding? What is at the core of the Islamic teachings that is helping us to understand this sense of solidarity, charity, and giving to the poor people, to the needy people, and even the oppressed, because it's all connected.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much for inviting me. We the Muslims, we have learned the teachings from the Holy Prophet and the Quran, which clearly stipulates to we Muslims that the charity is a must. And we Muslims practice a lot, giving charity on a daily basis. And this is the emphasis which our Prophet has given. We Muslims cannot tolerate any sufferings for any human being, whether he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. The moment we come to know that he's poor, he's in need, we immediately put our hand into our pocket and give it out. We have seen the teachings of the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 9, where the verses was revealed after the Sayyidina Fatima sallallahu alayhi with Imam Ali and Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, having fasted 3 days, they gave away their iftar to a poor, to an orphan, to a captive man. And they did not ask for any reward, and they just gave it immediately without any hesitation. So these are the teachings which we Muslims learn from the Quran and from the teachings of the Prophet. The Lady Fatima Salamullah Charitable Trust was formed in 1997 on the same principle basis. Ayatollah Fadhil Milani mentioned to one of the trustees that in 1996, a village in Iraq, they broke their fast with hot water and bread only. And immediately this trustee said, no, this is not humane. and he immediately went out and registered this trust, and thereafter gave out the reasonable iftar the following year in 1997. And since then, the trust has grown to where it is now.
But this is exactly the point, because you are saying something which is essential from an Islamic perspective, which is rooted in the tradition. From the very beginning, the first revelations came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, connecting your faith with takrim al-yatim. Kalla balla tukrimun al-yatim. Because if you believe, it means that you have to give dignity to the needy people. You have to show that you are respectful towards their being, even though within the society they have a very poor social status. This is the understanding of Islam. Now, this is based on a sense that not only when you are close to God, you have to be close to the poor people, but there is a sense that you have to give. Now, in our societies, the contemporary societies, what we see is, yes, there are people from other traditions, the Jewish tradition, the Christian tradition, the Buddhist tradition, the Hindu tradition, they are giving. Yet, when it comes to the Muslims, and as you are saying with your organization, you see that it's increasing, that the Muslims are giving more and more. How would you explain this? Why the Muslims now are giving more, and in which way this could be the good contribution from Muslims to their societies?
Well, we Muslims are practicing what we have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi and the teachings of the verses of the Quran. Whereas the other faiths, it is there in their holy book, but whether they are putting it into practice or not is a big question mark. And in my study with the charity, we will hear some of the large organizations pledging the funds, but at the end of the day, does the fund literally come out of their pockets, or do the funds come out of their bank account? That's a question mark. Whereas we Muslims, when we pledge, we do pledge and commit ourselves, whether it is zakat or sadaqah. We immediately play it out, and we do not differentiate that this sadaqah or this thing is only basically for Muslims. We'll go out and reach to any human being.
So two things that you are saying, if I listen to you quite clearly. The first has to do with trust. So the Muslim organizations are more trusted than other organizations. And the second is Muslims, by definition or by the very essence of the Islamic teaching, are not differentiating between the people they are helping. These are the two. Would you say that this could explain? Because I would say there is something else that we have to add, which is the spiritual dimension of giving. And the spiritual dimension of giving is that, yes, you have to practice the five pillars of Islam, but there is something which is, you're not going to be connected to God if you don't understand that you have to work on yourself, and not only, it's to keep for yourself what is bad in yourself and to try to reform it from within, but to give as much as you can, because to give is the right way to believe, which today seems to be missing. The spiritual dimension of charity, the spiritual dimension of solidarity and justice seems to be, all this seem to be missing in our discussion.
Well, what you have said is, I fully concur with you. As far as we Muslims are concerned, we believe happiness is in giving. And once we give, then we see the happiness that we get. And we have got the principles, again, the teachings from the Quran and the Prophet and his progeny, that you, when you give, don't expect the reward. Expect the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't look at whether he is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. For example, we led by Fatima Charitable Trust. Whenever an appeal has come, we do not waste our time. Recently, we saw an appeal, a Christian organization wanting to build a well in the Middle East where the people are being deprived due to the war. Within 24 hours, we have pledged our commitment. And not only commitment, the funds have been transferred. In Pakistan, at the same time, being a Muslim country, a Christian colony was deprived of the water. We, without hesitation, we have built up the water over there. Now, we Muslims, we believe that giving water or looking after the orphans, again, the teachings of the Quran, looking after the orphans is a charity which Allah will reward in this world and in the world hereafter. So because of the teachings and because of our spirit, spirituality. We literally practice, whereas others do not.
Mm. So yes, we still have, you know, Christians and people, or Jews and people of other faiths who are practicing and trying. The point is that the Muslims are, it's within the Muslim community that things are growing so much. How would you explain that over the last few years? And this is something which is happening everywhere in the West. It's not only in the UK. It's in the United States. It's you have many Muslim solidarity organizations that are just now blossoming because of the Muslims living in the West having more means and more money. They are giving more. How would you explain this? Is it only because we are more practicing or more practice understanding our principles, or is there something else?
It's not the practice or otherwise. I think in the last 10 to 15 years, the Muslims have migrated a lot towards the West. And because they have migrated towards the West, they are now practicing what they were practicing in their home country. When they were in their home country, maybe financially they were not very well off, but having moved into the West, financially they are better off than they were in the, some of them are better off than they were in their home country, number one. Secondly, is because the name of Islam has been tarnished or being trying to be tarnished, they are practicing more. And again, as you rightly said in your introduction, the media is still suppressing the charity which the Muslims are doing. And this is not right. The charity which the Muslims are doing in the West, which far supersedes, according to the poll taken out, it should be given a due publicity in the media and let others learn from the Muslims.
That's a good point that you are saying. You know, it is said in the Quran, "Asan taqrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum." You might hate something, but it's good for you. So all this negative perception coming from the media could have as a positive impact for you to do more in solidarity and showing that you are, your presence is positive within the society. This is what you are saying. So let me push this by asking you a question. You are working within an organization and you are trying your best here. What could be done from your perspective as a Muslim, as someone who is working within solidarity field, to help your fellow citizens, non-Muslims, to understand what you are doing, and more importantly, for you to have a positive impact? Just as the figures are showing, in which way the figures should be translated into something which is positive teaching to the people. So we don't have to keep this for ourselves, or we are doing good. No, it has to have an impact, because this is also a duty for us to be positive and to have a positive impact within our societies. What can be done?
Well, the unfortunate part is that the media is not within our control. And some of the medias which can portray what Islam or what the Muslims are doing as far as the charities are doing, that media is being suppressed. So it's a very difficult question.
And is there a way to do this without going through the media?
Well, without the media, it's very, very difficult. Mm. I mean, at the mosque, what Muslims can do is preach in the mosque, which is not going to give the due publicity, which should be given. The only way is the media has to come forward and be absolutely impartial and give the credit where the credit lies.
It's not going to happen.
Unfortunately not.
So you may have, we are talking about this here in this program, but you wouldn't have the prime time in other mainstream channels. No. Can't we, for example, work, for example, what you are doing in the real life, it's to be connected to other organizations, or for example, to use the alternative media. It's to be much more present in the social networks, on internet. Can't the Muslims be more present by not only doing the job, which is important, but here the means is as important as the act and the behavior is. The means is to use all the medias that are available to make it known and to share with others, and also to on the ground, for example, do you have activities with people of other faiths, for example?
Well, all the Muslim organizations who are doing such charitable and noble work, they should make their website very attractive, very effective, and be interlinked with other charitable Muslim organizations, and forget whether we are going to forget the ethos of we should be the leader. We should interact with all the Muslims and be forward. For example, Lady Fatima, again, we get appeals from countries that we have never worked over there. We get appeals from people who have, to whom we are not on our mailing list, and yet they do come across. So there are people who do the Google search and find out from where, which organization they will be able to get assistance. So yes, we have to try each and every angle to convey the message that we Muslims are doing more charity than other charitable organizations of non-Muslim organizations are doing in the world.
Wouldn't be also possible for us, coming from, you know, inductively, so this is done, as you are saying, and the surveys and the figures are showing that the Muslims are more involved than others in the field of solidarity, is to come from the practice and from this behavior and this presence to the values that we are that we are promoting. And this is also something which is important. It's charity is not only, okay, think about the poor people and just feel bad for them, but it is something which has to do with your dignified way to look at life in the name of God, in the name of your the understanding of Tawheed, that there is only one God, is also to say, look, these are the values. It has to do with dignity. It has to do with justice. It has to do with freedom. It has to do with rights. These are also, don't we have to promote solidarity with a very powerful message based on values, a value-based message about our life as human beings?
One very solid point which you raised just now is the dignity. We Muslim charitable organizations, I've seen Lady Fatima Charitable Trust together with the other Muslim charitable organizations, what we do is not just give a handout. We do the charity with a dignity, and that is microfinance. Whereas the non-Muslims, they will just give a come and give a handout and off they go. So
there are microfinancial projects everywhere now, and it started, it didn't start, but it was in Bangladesh, and then now it's everywhere.
That's a Muslim one.
Yeah.
Bangladesh was again a Muslim organization.
But he was connected to so many. Yeah. And they have so many.
So basically, we Muslims are doing the charity with a dignity, rather than just give
so
a
what
handout.
So what do you mean by doing it with dignity? What does it mean?
In other words, we just don't give a handout for the rest of the life. We give them the fishing rod and let him do the fishing. And he earned his own bread and butter with full dignity.
So this is the philosophy of your organization, for example?
This is the main philosophy of our organization. The only time we give the handout is the month of Ramadan, and that is because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Otherwise, the rest of the time, if a poor comes to us, we say, no, gentlemen, if you want, you come up with microfinance, what you want, whereby you can earn your daily bread and butter with full dignity. We will then provide you that fishing rod. Then you go and earn yourself. I'll give you one example. This is a very interesting project which we have done, and we are trying to implement in other areas. In Arusha, Tanzania, an orphan school with 54 orphans, they came to us for an assistance. And we didn't ask them how many are Muslims or how many are non-Muslims over there. We just went to their rescue and we said, right, you can't feed the orphans, we will support you for the first 3 months. Then what about after 3 months? Right, that's the second phase. First 3 months, we will feed them every day. Within those 3 months, you come up with the microfinance. And they come up with the poultry. And today, I'm pleased to announce that 1.5 years, that project is so successful that that school is making a profit to that degree that from the profit of the sale of the chicken and the eggs, the orphans are being fed 3 times a meal, plus the surplus they found, they are now giving them new clothes, new shoes, new stationery.
But it means, in what you are saying, which is very important here, is that there is not only solidarity and charity, there is a philosophy of solidarity, meaning we are assisting you today for you tomorrow. to be autonomous, which is the very essence of zakat, by the way. The zakat, we pay zakat to help the people to be autonomous after a while and not to be assisted the whole life. So what you are saying here is that with this message is what we want is not, for example, rich countries to help and to assist, is for all of us to think about the means that we can provide people with in order for them to be autonomous, which is the very essence of Islam. If we talk about dignity, my dignity is to be autonomous. It's not to be assisted my whole life.
True.
So are you spreading this message with our organization? Are you able to reach out?
This is what we are trying to do. In the countries that we are working, this is our ethos. That every time we try to make people understand, and if they are not prepared to understand, we do not assist. So in other words, we try to be cruel, to be kind. Make them understand, gentlemen, you cannot be a beggar for the rest of your life. You have to start earning your daily bread and butter with full dignity and come out. In other words, to sum it up, gentlemen, you should not be dependent upon the sadaqah or zakat. On the other hand, you should be a payer of sadaqah and zakat so that tomorrow, with your sadaqah and zakat, you lift another family.
Yes, I think that's the final thought here, the final point that you are making is essential. If you look at all our discussion, I think that what is important is to understand the very essence of Islam and to understand why Muslims are so committed to give, because this is central to their belief. There is no real understanding of Islam, and it's not, he has not completed his or her faith, the one who can sleep at peace while his neighbor is hungry and in need. So this is a hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So this understanding is part of Islam. The second thing that you are saying is just to do what we preach, meaning that this has to be translated into reality, and the Muslims are trying. The last point is, when we look at Muslims now in the West and others like in the UK, they are now very much involved in giving and with solidarity. And behind there are two things which are important in what you are saying. Sacrifice, which is the understanding that you have to give. It's a spiritual take. It's a spiritual jihad. In fact, it's a spiritual effort. It takes effort to give. And the second is help the people to be autonomous. Help the people not to be in need of you, but just to be autonomous. And then in the future for them to be able to give, which is the philosophy of Islam as well. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We at Islam and Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for our program. So get in touch with us. You can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage in debate, and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam and Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page, Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Amir Ali Karim. Thank you so much for what you are doing with your organization, and good luck for your work.
Thank you.
I hope to see you next week, inshallah.